All stations, all stations, all call signs. This is Wrecker Actual, over. Stand by for transmission. Prepare to copy. This is American Vindicta.
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to American Vindicta. We have on with us Mike Kerr from Gear the Watchman. Mike, we've been talking for about 30, 45 minutes, man. I said that, you know, if we're just going to have a complaint session about some of the stuff that's happening 2024 and some of the inside baseball that you and I know that's going on within ministry and all that, I don't care if we talk about it. I think the public needs to know what we feel and what we think about certain things, because we're not here to shade what's going on to anybody. We're here to tell the truth, right? Even if it's ugly. But, you know, I do want to encourage people that they hear the Watchman conference that's going to be coming up in Dallas this year is going to bring a lot of blessing and joy to people's lives who, you know, people who feel like they're alone. They don't have like-minded people to go and hang out with and watch and meet new people. The Hear the Watchman, I think, is a great place for you to link up, meeting new people. It's a great place for you to hear the word of God being preached. And, it's a good way also to help support what Mike and Jeannie do with the Hear the Watchman. And so, I just want to start off with that before we, complain about Epstein and everybody else and their mother that's happening right now. So can you let people know, Hear the Watchman conference, what's going on, what's coming up?
Love to, Doug. And thank you so much for having me on today.
Absolutely, man.
Hear the Watchman conference, guys. They've been going on since 2016, and Dallas, Fort Worth, is the home territory. That's where we started. We're going back April 5th, 6th, 7th, and 8th, which is the total eclipse of the sun, which is supposed to pass right by. And listen, guys, I don't control the weather. If the skies are clear, you'll see it. If the skies are clouded, I don't know what to tell you. We'll all be together and praying. But we have an outstanding lineup of speakers, Doug, you included, Jamie Walden, Pastor Paul Begley, Derek and Sharon Gilbert, Heidi Begley, Dr. Michael Lake, Michael Boldea, Casper McLeod, John Moore, and the list goes on. Tracy Tennant, who's a great speaker, will be joining us there. And it's an opportunity for you to come out in person and gather together and get rejuvenated in your faith and hear from people who deeply study the scripture and prophecy about what's going on. Look, you're not going to get donuts and coffee, but we're going to feed you better than any other conference has if you can make it there. Just go to www.hearthewatchman.com, and all the details are there. And look, I would love to be able to put these conferences on for free, but you know what? It's not feasible, okay? The hotel's not free. The speakers need to be paid something. There's stuff that needs to be done there. All that goes in to making a conference. And, you know, guys, there's so much, and I'm sure Doug and I are going to talk about this, but in the remnant body, everybody wants it for free now. Oh, church should be for free. Everything should be for free. All free means is someone else is paying for it. Now, we don't try and make money on our conferences. We try to just break even and get back the money that we have to put up to do them. That's it. That's our goal. Now, you can come in person for as low as $35 per ticket through February 15th. After that, the price goes back up to regular pricing, which I believe is $99 for the general admission. You can also avail yourself of the live stream on demand if you absolutely can't get there. And I say that in pause because you need to be there. Being there in person is unlike any experience you'll ever have. So, Doug, I mean, that's kind of the nitty-gritty on the conference. At Hear the Watchman, we do 3 Zoom fellowships per week, which are free. Monday and Tuesday are speakers. Wednesday is Warfare Wednesday, where we talk about the spiritual battle out there. And all you have to do to get invites to that is go to the website, go to the bottom of the page, fill out the form, and you'll get the links every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, 7 p.m. Central. So, you know, Doug, I guess what I would like to talk about is what we talked about before we came on the air. What is lacking within the remnant body right now?
Well, as we were discussing, I'm so sick of politics and politicians and political pundits. And I follow it all. You know, it's kind of my job now. I pay attention to it, but I don't let it overtake my life or what I do now on the podcast. And I have completely Jen Psaki'd circle back all the way to taking care of the body. Because I feel in my spirit that the body of Christ is lacking in many different ways, in all ways. One of the things I feel that we're lacking in is for this remnant body of Christ to be able to stand up in victory in the glory of God and to willfully go out and combat evil. Now, people are going to take that and they're going to misconstrue it. And I'm going to get some funky emails, but with what's coming in the future, if you don't have a backbone that is not built upon the word of God, you're going to snap under pressure. People are freaking out. They freaked out over COVID. They freaked out over Obama, the war in Iraq. They freaked out, you know, over what was happening with Russia and Ukraine and now with Israel. And look, yeah, there's prophecies that are being fulfilled. You know, God's talking to his people, but are the people listening? Are the people ready for the message? And honestly, most of the pastors aren't preaching the message. They're not preaching, from what I'm gathering, from what I'm being told, a full context of the gospel of Christ. They're giving you, you know, bits and pieces of what they got fed on a PowerPoint, and that's what they build their entire scripture off of and how they preach their 20-minute sessions. Had one guy the other night tell me, you know, when you go to read your Bible, 5 to 10 minutes of reading your Bible and studying is about all you need, and that's what you can retain every day. 5 to 10 minutes. 5 to 10 minutes. My Lord, how many of you are in the bathroom on your damn cell phone for 20 to 30 minutes? don't look at me like it ain't one of you right now. Look, this is, we're all adults here. Let's take in a full context of our actions. We would rather be outside doing something, inside watching TV, selling my entire life to my phone and Amazon Prime, playing video games, going on vacation. Who don't want to go on vacation, man? I would love to finally go on a vacation, but you got to work yourself to death to be able to barely pay bills, to barely be able to get you and your wife something new or your kids something new or to put food back into the refrigerator. You know, your vehicle's constantly breaking down because cars are built to break now. Your phone bill's astronomical, right? Everything's piling up against you. And as the burdens of the world grow and grow and grow upon the shoulders of a Christian, our ability to focus on the cross, on Christ, gets diminished in our eyes, because we think we should focus upon all the burdens of the world. And instead of focusing on the cross and giving those burdens and those woes to Jesus, to the foot of the cross, and putting upon his yoke, which is light, we take upon ourselves the yoke of the world. And when you yoke yourself up with the world, you're going to become spiteful. You're going to be argumentative. Everything is going to be negative. Every day the sky is falling to the point that every time I'm on YouTube, oh, what's the next conspiracy about the end of the world? Let's see. And Christians are the worst at it. Many people say, Doug, I'm ready for the Lord to come back. Are you really? In here, let's be honest, adults, are you really ready? Are you really ready for those prophecies in the Bible to start being fulfilled? You ready for the Antichrist and his army? Are you ready for the entire New World Order to take everything that you've ever done, put it under a microscope, and then chase you out of your home, out of your land? You can't buy, you can't sell, you can't trade. People within your own household are trying to kill you. The government's trying to come after you. You almost feel like, man, I feel like the Nazis in World War II with the Jewish extermination camps. That will be better than what will be coming in the future. How many of you are ready for the lights to go out this winter, right now? Who's prepared? Who's prepared? Who has all the money in their bank account to go out there and buy another, you know, lot of land next to Jeff Bezos and Mark Zuckerberg and build your bunker? Who's ready? Nobody's ready. They're not ready. That's why the elites are buying all this crap, building their redoubts under the ground. Because what does it say in Revelation? They too will cry out for the rocks to fall upon them because of the lion that is coming. They're not ready either. So where we have an advantage, just tactical advantage, is we have Christ in our heart, Christ on our side. We're not here for the day of the Lord, but God, man's wrath, the wrath of Satan, we'll be here for that. For those of you who will be here for that. And I don't care if you're caught up in the sky and raptured or not raptured, if you're, you know, pre, mid, post, otherworldly. I don't care, man. You could die right now. You ready to meet Christ? Right? People have a loose opinion of what it means to be a Christian in America. Well, I'll buy a necklace with a cross on it. I'll buy a Bible and I'll keep it in my truck. And, you know, I might thumb through it once a year. I'll make sure I go to church at Christmas and Easter because, you know, that's the two most important pagan holidays to show up on church for. Oh, Doug, don't talk about my Christmas and my Easter. Well, you might as well enjoy celebrating Satan's Day and Halloween, too, because Christians don't even know what days that they celebrate. They don't know paganism. How many of you even know that this month in January is literally chocked filled with satanic ritual abuse, occultism, crimes? Who's following that? Ever since dear Pastor Russ Dizdar passed away and went to meet the Lord, that void stopped getting filled. I'm doing my best with a little bit that I can do here and there. We're trying to bring the Black Awakening book to life. But people are not ready. And you know what's interesting, Mike, is that 2024 is the year of the dragon. The year of the dragon. 2024, the year of the dragon, year of civil war in America, year of World War III. The year of the great economic recessions worldwide, collapse of the banks. This is what everybody's saying, right? We're going to have another huge pandemic. Trump's probably going to get assassinated, arrested, or not become the president. Or if he does become the president, it'll also start the civil war in America. Biden will be replaced by some clown from California. You know, China is going to completely overtake the world. You name it. I've heard it. Meteors are going to follow the sky and kill everybody. Oh, well, hey, praise God. No matter what happens, no matter what happens, no matter who gets elected, no matter what financial system gets burdened and brought down, no matter what country gets brought low, no matter what pandemic comes on. It's all in God's hands. God's hands. God's time. God's hands. God doesn't care about your opinion. God doesn't need your AR-15. God doesn't need you to go and arrest Joe Biden and all the corrupt politicians in Washington. He don't need you. He's God. He needs you to shut up, follow the commandments, love your neighbor as you love yourself. Don't have any gods before him. Go out and tend to his flock. That's what God needs of you. God needs your faith. He don't need your money. He has 1,000 cattle on 1,000 hills. God don't need your money. What you need to be careful for are those guys who claim to be of God. They claim to be pastors, and they need your money. Those are the ones you need to look out for. There's very few things currently in America for just the average American to look forward to, let alone Christians who are seeing the persecution being done by this government and other governments around the world, like Armenia. Nobody talks about Armenia. We have brothers and sisters that are being chased over the mountains by Muslim armies from Azerbaijan who is backed by Iran, and Iran wants to completely take over all that. Turkey wants to completely kill all the Armenians again. Out of home, out of job, out of food. The clothes they have on their backs is all the clothes they got. Have the Catholics done a great massive roundup of money to send money and food and funding to Armenia? No. Has Israel? No. Has America even talked about the genocide in Armenia? This is like the third time this has happened. Nope. Nope. And it won't be talked about when it happens here either. It won't be, because we're not the prerogative of the world. The money is. As long as Satan has a little bit of control of what's going on, you will be hunted down and chased and chastised by this world. Are you ready for it? That's what I ask people. 2024, are you ready for what's going to be coming after this? Go ahead, Mike.
Doug, I completely agree with the path you're going down. I really do. You know, people that I talk with, and I talk with a lot of people, you know, they all seem to want to blame what's happened around us on someone. You know, oh, it's the liberals' part. Oh, it's the conservatives' part. Oh, it's because of this. No, you know what? It's us. We did it. You know. We turned away as a country, away from God, as far as I'm concerned. And now, what, we're surprised at the way things are working out? You know, it's difficult because it's very hard to get people to understand that you have to put Jesus first, the cross first. If you don't, you're doomed. Now, you can think, well, I'll put my new motorhome first, or I'll put my giant TV first, or my vacation first. You know, it's all fine and dandy in the flesh, but it's not going to do you any good, you know, when the end times show up. Now, you know, we see all this stuff going on. I told my wife, Doug, the other night, and you'll appreciate this. It was last night. I said, oh, get ready for it. The Epstein list is going to come out, and that's going to be everybody's focus for a while, is the Epstein list. Well, look, I can guarantee you something about the Epstein list. I'm not on it. And that's all I can guarantee you, is that I'm not on that list. I don't know anything to do with the rest of it, but I also know that it'll have no effect on how I serve Jesus. Do you know who's on that list of Satanists? That's who's on that list. You don't have to go any further than that. And you know, when we look at, and we can talk about this for a minute, because Jamie and I talk about this a lot, the competition amongst the remnant body of Christ right now has to stop. I mean, you've got people out there competing to see who can be the most righteous Christian that there is today. Sorry, it doesn't work like that. I mean, do you really think that Jesus or God, do you think they're sitting up in heaven and they wake up in the morning and they go, mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the most righteous of them all? No. You know, Jesus is looking for people who are willing to give their lives to him and serve him to carry out the message of the Bible. It's not popular, you guys. When you do it, it's a fight. I mean, Doug, wouldn't you agree? I mean, when you go out there and try and really show people what the word of Jesus is and encourage them to do his work, it's a fight.
Well, no man is righteous. No, not one. And, you know, Jamie and I talked about Greg Locke, Pastor Greg Locke. I was going to do a whole review over this flat earth debate. And the debate honestly has nothing to do with flat earth. I have a lot of friends, a lot of people who listen to us that are flat earthers, and they love Christ as much as I do. So I really care not for flat earth, and people know that, but I'm also not going to sit here and denigrate you for it either, because I probably believe in stupid stuff that people would laugh at me, right? Or would think would be stupid. I don't think people are stupid. I just think that we all believe in something foolish. And we probably all watch YouTube too much, right? But Greg Locke and this other pastor, what was so despicable to me, and my wife and I have talked about this ad nauseum for the last 4 or 5 days, is that when you're called into ministry, you turn over everything that you were doing in the world to be a proponent of the kingdom of Christ and to minister to people, to help people, the hurting. That's who we're supposed to minister to, the hurting, the lost, the damned, the sinner. Not have a debate over some meaningless conversation and turn the house of God into an entertainment venue, into a theater. I can only imagine where two or more gathered speaking in God's name, he'll be there, right? Jesus standing right there and watching these two guys going back and forth about it and just looking at each one of them going, I thought this was about me. I thought all this, the house of the Lord, redemption of mankind, you know, me hanging on the cross. Why are you discussing and causing division? Which I tell you, don't do that. Do not do that. Don't cause division and strife amongst the brethren. And yet you two clowns are up here having this conversation. Who got convicted by this conversation to repent of their sins? How many people just got repulsed to not show up for church? Oh, this is what the Christians are doing? But even as I say that, people will leave in the comment section, well, Greg Locke this and flat earth that. You're missing the point.
Mm-hmm.
One thing, Greg Locke should definitely repent and apologize to that man and what he said and how he said it. That is not how you act as an ambassador of Christ. And I'm a little bitty nothing and nobody. All right. I don't have a ton of money. That's laughable. I mean, this is like the first new shirt I've gotten in a couple of years. I don't have a ton of money. I don't have a church. I don't have nothing. I got this microphone and that camera and a spare room on a small chicken farm. So for me to see this and to say, I would never come to that church, that's bad. As a Christian, as someone who ministers to people, I'd never show up there. If that's what their heart is all about, that's not about Christ. And if it is, then you, brothers, are being tempted by something very wicked to use the house of the Lord as an entertainment venue. We are not entertainers. I mean, the apostles, the prophets were all horrifically killed for proselytizing the word of God. And what are you doing? Is this a popularity contest? How many likes and views can I get on Twitter and TikTok and YouTube and Rumble? Man, if that's what you're about, get out of the church. You don't need to be a minister if that's what you're about. And there's a lot of guys that are like that. There's a lot of guys who are multi-million dollar preachers. And a donation bowl still goes out every Wednesday and every Sunday, while you have people sitting in the pews, poor, living on Social Security, can't afford stuff, can barely afford bills. People, currently looking at, filing bankruptcy, maybe losing their home. People whose lives are falling apart. And a lot of these, quote, ministers, they're just there to collect your money. They're tax collectors is what they are. And the body of Christ sees this, Mike. They see it. They know it. They know the guys in our group who also act like that. Listen, I have no friends here. I don't care who hates me. I'm going to say what's right, and I don't care who likes it and who doesn't. And if I ever say anything, and any one of my detractors that's within this Christian alternative news world doesn't like what I say, and they feel that stink, oh man, you hit my pocketbook a little bit, Doug, when you said something like that. That's called conviction. Yeah, I'm not in this for the money. Man, I left a six-figure job. I was making almost $120,000 a year to come and do this when God called me out of this. Okay, the money has nothing to do with it. If you're doing what you're supposed to, and I love this thing that Pastor David Langford was saying the other day, because that's where I get a lot of my meat from, is following what Pastor David Langford does. Because that man does not care if you like him or not. He's going to give you the unadulterated truth no matter what. Please like, share, subscribe, freaking Pastor David Langford. That man tells the truth no matter how hot the fire is. But he said something that was pretty wise the other day. I don't do this for the money. I do it for the souls. As a Christian, that's you as well. I mean, no one who's listening to us, Mike, are any better or any worse. You may be in a different layer of your faith, depending on your walk, but you should be out doing what we're doing. Preaching to people. Last night in the gym, we're doing chest day and overhead press day, and I'm over here quoting scripture for the last hour and a half. Do it wherever you're at. Spread the news wherever you're at. No one cares about Donald Trump except for Donald Trump and the people who make money off of Donald Trump. No one cares about Joe Biden except for the people who use him to make money off of him. And they don't care about you. I don't care how many MAGA rallies you've been to. Does Donald Trump pay you bills? No. Did Donald Trump baptize you? No. So 2024 is going to be a year where a lot of people are going to pay a lot of attention to politics, Mike. And we have this whole black swan event that's being predicted to happen. It's probably because of Epstein and his 170 people that are going to be released. And I think some of you may be shocked. I'm already hearing three names. Donald Trump's already been named. Bill Clinton's already been named. And Alan Dershowitz has already been named. Now, the whole thing with Trump kind of goes back and forth. I really care not. Like, do your research on who Trump was. He was a Democrat till they all backstabbed him. And it doesn't mean Trump can't be used by God to do something good. So was Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar was used to do something good. Artaxerxes, Darius, they were used to do something good for God's people and God's will. But know who you're talking about, right? Go ahead, Mike.
Well, you know, Doug, being an old man and watching what's going on within the body is painful. I will tell you that. There's very few people like you and Jamie Weld and some of the other young guys I work with that are actually out there doing the deal. You know, everybody knows that this conference for me will be my last conference. I will not be doing conferences anymore. My wife's going to continue on doing some smaller conferences, but the Lord's called me in a different direction. And you see, what I do is I pray, Doug, and then I shut up and listen. And sometimes it takes quite a while for the Lord to speak to us and tell us what to do. But I got my marching orders and I'm going to do them. But you see, people aren't willing to do that anymore. They're sitting on their couch because they're afraid to go outside. And they're sitting there watching all this stuff on YouTube and Roku and you know, all that stuff. And they're not doing anything. You know, the Lord, when he asked you to disciple for him, to be someone who is out there teaching his words to others, meant just that. Get out there. Get off the couch, you know. The fact that you're afraid to go out, the fact that you think the economy is always going to crash, the dollar's going to be devalued, that the food supply is going to run out, all of that stuff that's keeping you from getting up and doing God's work is of Satan. Pure and simple. Fear. You know, it's of Satan. Now, I'm not saying, Doug, for sure, I'm not saying it's not important to prepare. It is important to prepare, no doubt. But it's really more important for you to prepare spiritually. And you can't do that sitting on your couch.
What do you think people should do to prepare spiritually? I get this question a lot, and I can wax poetically and pontificate about a warrior's mindset, but that doesn't transfer across to everybody. Not everybody is me, thinks like me, done the things I've done, and so views the world I do, or as you. And so preparing spiritually, what does that look like for the average person?
That's a good question. For the average person, in my opinion, what it means is to first dedicate your life to Jesus. Dedicate your life to service. You know, that's preparing. Read your Bible. Understand the scripture. Don't just quote it. It drives me bat guano crazy when people just quote scripture, quote scripture, quote scripture. Hey, it's great that you can do that, you know, but I'm not impressed. Show me how you live the scripture. You know, so you have to be prepared to, in my opinion, to live the scripture and to, you know, we're all different, okay? For me, the overall plan, besides being prepared spiritually, means I have to be physically prepared. How does that look for a guy that's 65 years old with a heart condition? Well, it doesn't mean the same as it means for Doug. It means I've got to have food stored, water stored. I got to know where I live and how to get out. You know, am I armed? Sure. But, you know, let's face facts, guys. And I want you all to think about this. Who's going to protect you first when it hits the fan? Is it going to be Doug Thornton or is it going to be Jesus? It's going to be both of them. That's who's going to help. But you, if you're like me, have to understand that getting my AR-15 or my M16 or all that stuff and running out the front door and shooting everything I see isn't the answer.
Nope, for me. Gonna die. You're gonna die quick.
That's a lot of people will, because there's a lot of people out there that naively think that if I go down to the gun store and buy this gun and get like a box of ammo, I'm prepared. Wrong.
Man, I know people that I've literally offered, come to the training course. I'll give you half off if you think what we're doing is irrelevant. Come let me push you for 4 days, 12-hour days, day and night. See if you're ready for that. And it's a gentleman's course, by the way. We don't push hard. And I wouldn't do that to the average person because they need to be trained, not hazed. But I'll gladly haze you into the dirt if you think you're ready. Right? If you think you got it all figured out, you're a tactical ninja, you know, come try me. We'll test you and your team, right? Nobody will do it, though. Nobody will do it. Nobody wants to do it. Nobody wants to come play. But they want to sit there and act like a tough guy. And look, acting like a tough guy is fine until you get called out for it. And being called out in an internet chat forums or in a video, that's not being called out. I mean, the time that you think that you're a tough guy in front of somebody and you peacock a little too hard and you get called out for it, you got two options. Well, three. You're going to back down, you're going to run, or you're going to fight. Which one are you actually ready for? Right? Mm-hmm. I don't teach people to be tactical ninjas. I teach community preparedness, family safety preparedness. That's what I teach. What I teach you is not going to help defeat the Antichrist and his army. What I teach you is not going to help you stop the Russian and Chinese invasion. No, it's to get you up and protecting your house. And if you have to flee and go somewhere, to give you the situational awareness, the memory recall of I've been here, I've done this. I know how to stay cool, calm, and collective under pressure, how to talk to people, because that's what we focus more than shooting on, is how to talk to people, how to navigate around people, because that's who you're going to be shooting at or shooting at you or trying to rob you or rape you or kidnap you or fist fight you. It's going to be people, right? It's not going to be paper targets. It's not going to be giants and aliens and X-Men and all this other stuff. It's going to be freaking people, all right? So we train in a very basic, common sense fashion. However, it does not guarantee anything. Doesn't guarantee anything. I think being prepared spiritually, as you were saying, starts with dedicating your life to Christ. That means when you become a Christian, you have to do a self-evaluation of what is it that Christ expects of me, wants from me. Well, he wants your faith. He wants you to stop sinning, follow the commandments, keep the Sabbath day holy, all that stuff. All the stuff everybody freaking argues about. They'll argue about the Ten Commandments. Yet, they won't stop sinning. They'll backslide. They'll talk bad about brethren. They will denigrate one another, argue about pointless, useless crap. Obviously not reading scripture when you're not supposed to do stuff like that. No one's reading 2 Timothy, apparently. And to quote scripture, as you were saying, I'm not impressed by someone who can quote scripture. Quoting it in the right context and then making someone being convicted by that scripture, that is what it's for. Hey, when a brother has backslidden, here's scripture to let you know, brother, you're backsliding. Let's recognize our failings and be sure to correct it. Let's go the correct path. Instead, you're following a path that is not of Christ. Now you can use scripture, but I've seen these people who they quote scripture because they have excellent memory recall, and they do it to seem important, self-importance. And a lot of people do it also to make you feel bad. Right? That they think they got something on you because they can quote scripture. Well, these are the same people who could probably read through the dictionary and the thesaurus and quote stuff as well, right? They just have excellent memory recall. Using scripture in the right context, that's a start. Taking other people who were living a similar lifestyle as you before you came to Christ, and then evangelizing to them.
Mm-hmm.
There, now you're getting spiritually prepared. The thing is like, if you're not ready to not have your Starbucks every day, if you're not ready to not use your microwave every day, or your air conditioning, or to have your vehicle, your faith may get tested. And if you're lacking in faith, weak in faith, a new Christian, or you backslide constantly and you go to, you know, well, I know I sinned for the last 6 days, so I'll make up for it if we're going to the church. That's not, brother, that's not it, right? That's not being prepared for Christ to return, or for how he's supposed to be in you. But I see a lot of people who live that way, Mike. Well, they'll tell you everything about Donald Trump and what's going on with him, and they can't barely quote you scripture.
Yeah, well, it's not just that. They don't live the scripture. You know what I mean? And the thing is, Doug, you know, I have preached since the beginning of Hear the Watchman, since I got into this, which, by the way, when I started ministry, I had no gray hair and I didn't have a beard because I could afford a razor. But here we are, you know. And the thing is, though, when I got into ministry, I used to talk to people about how you treat other children of God. And I said, when you walk down and or you go to the 7-Eleven or the Circle K or whatever convenience store there is in your neck of the woods, and you see a homeless guy sitting out in front, or you see a homeless mother and a child out in front, what do? Odds are you look the other way and you judge them, because that's what people do. But you see, I tried to teach people that, no, what you do is you don't give them money, you don't buy them a beer, you go in and you get them some food, and you come out and you hand them the food and you tell them, you don't have to live this way anymore. There's another way. Now, how do I know that? People are like, how is it that it's so easy for you to work with some of these homeless people and the people that have been in jail? Because I'm one, you guys. 20 years ago, I was homeless on the streets of Los Angeles, and I spent a year in jail. So I get it, you know. So when you look at Mike Kerr and he's doing Hear the Watchman, and you think, that's so cool, man. How did he do that? I don't know. I have no idea. All I know is when I accepted Jesus into my life and shut up and listened to the direction that he had for me to go, I ended up where I am today. And I'll never look back with the exception of looking back to continue to be as humble as I possibly can for all the gifts that he has bestowed on me. But, you know, when I go on Facebook and look at what people are doing and saying, and when I hear people, you know, what they're doing and saying, and Greg Locke and all these people just attacking others and all that stuff, I just think, wow, you know, they missed the story. My favorite story, which I'm not sure if it's true or not, is, you may have seen it out there, there was a preacher that just took over a parish in some town, or a, you know, a church, what else, whatever you want to call it, a building where they talk about Jesus. And he dressed up like a homeless guy and just sat outside the church. And all the parishioners came in and they walked right by him with their heads held high and their Bibles in their hand as they went into church. And then he went into church and went in the back and changed into his suit and tie and got cleaned up. And then the retiring pastor came out and introduced him to the parishioners, and the room fell silent. Why? Because it should have. Because as Christians, rather than attack one another, and rather than get into this crazy competition thing, we need to just serve the Lord. I don't care, like Doug said, I don't care if you believe the earth is flat or not. It's like irrelevant to me. I have a different opinion of what the world looks like. But you know what? We're not going to sit there and debate it. If I was a baby Christian out there and I saw on Facebook the things that people are saying to one another that are Christians, I'd run the other way. I wouldn't want anything to do with these people. They're nuts, you know. And so you want to be cautious and cognitive of where you're going and what you're doing. Doug is deadly accurate when he talks about preparing and the training that he does and the training he and Jamie do like that. It's important. But when you're 65 and you have heart problems like I do, it's more important to know who you can count on. Jesus first, Doug and Jamie Walden probably second. But for us, it's where you can go. How can you, where can you go where you'll be safe? I'm fortunate. I live way up in the mountains of Idaho, not on the way to or from anywhere. And so, you know, it's pretty safe, but we still prepare. We still prepare up here. We live by a river, interestingly enough, called the River of No Return. But we live right next to this beautiful river, and water is there. But we all still store water. Imagine that, you know. So, you know, all of that stuff in the physical realm is important. But the spiritual realm, Doug, it pains me to see where we are today within the remnant body in the spiritual realm. That's for certain. And so I encourage all of you listening to this to take an evening and talk with your wife and family about what it is all of you can do to improve the spirituality within your house and how you can assist others to get to that point. How do you talk to others? Do you start with the book of Revelation? Probably not a good idea, you know, when someone's brand new to the church, you know, but you walk them through the Bible. You teach them by your experience. You know, I mean, the back to the whole Greg Locke thing, you know, dismal at best and disappointing, you know, and the whole Epstein thing and all that stuff, you know, how does it affect your life and your house? You know, probably not much, you know, as long as your name's not on that list, you know, but you know, what can you do to go out and affect another Christian's life? My prayer in the morning, every day, is, Lord, guide me and show me what to do for one of yours. Mm-hmm. It's not, Lord, can you help me get approved for that vacation home down in Florida I'd like to buy? Or, Lord, can I get a new car? It's never like that. It's, what can I do for you, Jesus? Show me the way. And then, pardon my language, guys, but then it shut the hell up and let the Lord show you what he wants you to do. That's kind of where I'm at with all that, Doug.
Well, you know, I evangelize in the gym. I call it my iron church. I have been very thankful to be bold in my speech because I prayed for God to let me be bold in my speech. And like, I'll be doing like a little powerlifting class. And, you know, as I teach, I preach and more men show up.
Mm-hmm.
And then more listen and more listen and more listen. And I get to just, you know, chip away at that ice in these kids' hearts who know nothing but, you know, the weirdness that is their world right now, a 18-year-old, early 20-year-old. And, you know, when I get to minister to the broken, You know, I was ministering to a young man the other night who had had a very traumatic childhood, very sad story, very traumatic childhood. But he's a black belt Brazilian jiu-jitsu guy. You know, he's hardcore guy, but inside he's still this beaten up child. And so to be able to see that, and it was God who showed it to me. And, you know, I just, you know, we were doing I was teaching an overhead pressing session, and I just noticed something was wrong. I was, hey, you're all right, brother. That's all it took. That's all it took. And the Holy Spirit went from me and punched him right in the face. And about 3 hours later, you know, me and that guy got to know each other very well, got to pray over him. He got to release a lot of burdens that he was holding on to and gave it to the Lord. And that's what we should be doing. For one thing, we should also be out blessing each other. So instead of outdoing one another, outdo one another in your blessings to each other. Hey, man, here's a coffee. Here's a coffee. Oh, yeah, well, here's a coffee and donuts. Well, here's a coffee and donuts, and I also grabbed the coffee machine, right? When's the last time you did that for somebody, right? Hold each other accountable to what should be accountable as Christians. Listen to this, Micah, chapter 6. So chapter 6, verse 6, what does the Lord require? With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before God on high? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with tens of thousands of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? Has he told you, O man, what is good? And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God?
Amen.
Stop overcomplicating your faith. Stop overcomplicating your faith. Get away. I got to go back to Jeremiah. Me and my wife and kids been doing Bible study in Jeremiah. Stop overcomplicating your faith. Be bold in your speech. You see someone who is, you know, a little downtrodden, just, you know, remind them, hey, man, I don't know what's going on with you, but Christ loves you. You know, you needed to be told that. You're welcome. See what happens, right? Don't be sarcastic about it. But, you know, be bold in your speech. Stop overcomplicating your faith. You don't have to wear this suit and this tie and this dress code like the Mormons do, or, you know, do 20,000 useless prayers like the Catholics do, or, you know, get up and speak in false tongues just because you see other people in the Pentecostal church do it, or not enjoy anything at all because you're a Baptist. I can go on and on with denominations and your man-made doctrines and your man-made bias. Honor the Lord, read the Bible, honor the Lord, and then be kind to one another. That's what Christ called us to be. Be kind to one another. And don't forget, when Christ came, he came as the example, as the Lamb, to redeem mankind. And many did not want that. Many people did not want it. But don't worry, because he'll come back a second time. He'll come back with a sword to divide and to conquer, to vanquish evil and any enemy of God. Do not be counted amongst those goats. Because when the nations of the goats and the sheep get divided, there's no coming back from it. Once it started, once all this fiasco that is going to eventually occur has started, you have a limited, what we used to say in law enforcement, when you have like 10 seconds of a constitutional window to hit somebody a few times before you can get in trouble. You have a very limited window to save yourself. And it's not fire insurance, as Jamie Walden says. When you know the love of God, you regret every day not knowing it. But if you don't turn to him, if your ears aren't open, if your eyes aren't open, you don't see it, you don't hear it, you don't read it, and you don't preach it, you ain't going to understand it either. So, you know, for a lot of families, 2024, yeah, sure, get some training in. Who cares? Sure, prepare. Prepare, because we live in a roller coaster economy and Joe Biden is behind the steering wheel. So, yeah, you probably should prepare for that, right? Stop watching so much of this garbage on TV, the garbage you listen to for music, the garbage people you hang out with that's done nothing but poison the walk that God has tried to set you on, poison the relationships of your family, or the poison that you smoke, you drink, or you ingest. Get back to your first love, which is Jesus. And if you don't like anything I just said, too bad. Too bad. I don't care. I don't care. That is the unadulterated truth of the Bible. You know, my wife and I were reading this morning that eventually God will walk ankle deep in the blood of the wicked. So don't worry, Epstein and all these other people, they're not going to get away with it. You may escape man's judgment, but God feeds the crows and the ravens. Don't forget that. All these men of rich wealth and power can have their eyes plucked out and blood drank from the beasts of the field, as scripture says. Just don't be accounted amongst them. Mike, we got 3 minutes left, brother. I'll give it to you.
Well, it's just, let me tell you, it's been such a pleasure being on with you, Doug. It's nice to, again, for me to spend time with someone as young as you, who's just got it and is on their way, you know, and I don't say that to puff you up one bit, you know that, you know, it's just, it's nice to see. You guys come out to hear the Watchmen in person, meet Doug, sit down and talk with Doug. What happens in the conference that we put on isn't just listening to a bunch of speakers. It's what happens in between the speakers and afterwards. You know, I'll go down into the lobby of the hotel at 2:30 in the morning, and there'll be people still out there energized, talking and fellowshipping with one another because they understand each other. And that's what I would like to see continue to happen. And I can't do it if you don't show up. Sure, you can watch it online and all that, and that's great if you can't get there. But most important to me is just get right with Jesus. Sit down and listen to what he has to say. There's nothing that you can't do for him or with him. You know, and it's like when he called me to start Hear the Watchman, I was like, dude, you must be at the end of your Rolodex because you don't know who you're talking to here. How am I going to gather your people? You know, I was in jail. I was homeless. And you know, what a silly thing to think, because look at his disciples. It's not exactly like they were rock solid group of guys, you know, but they were rock solid in their faith. And, you know, it's just important that you get rock solid with your faith to Jesus and be willing to go out there and do it without expecting anything in return. Just do it. I think that's where I'd leave it. It's just been a pleasure to be with you. And I can't wait to see you there in Grapevine at the DFW Hilton Lakes Executive Center and Hotel. It's just going to be awesome. Just go to hearthewatchmanmen.com, check it out, see what's going on, and I'll pray. I'll see you all there.
Yep. And, you know, Mike, it's been great talking with you, as it always is. It's awesome talking with you. And I hope a lot of people show up. This, you know, the thing that God's been putting on my heart a lot, especially when I'm doing a lot of this training stuff. And once again, the people who listen to me know that when I say this, that I don't care if you get training from me or not, just get trained, right? Be an asset, not a liability. You don't have to come to my training. I'm not begging. I don't need to beg. God will send who needs to be sent. So I don't care who shows up. But if I always am confounded. Every time we've put on a training, something major has happened around the world. And I think there's the Spirit is speaking to us with stuff like that. And the thing that I always get is that this may be the last time we get to do it. This may be the last time you get to have any kind of training. When you leave our presence, this might be it. You know, when we go to hear the watchman, who knows what will happen afterwards? It might be the last time you get to come and have fellowship with a lot of people. Might go into a whole nother lockdown again, right? So nobody knows, but I can guarantee you 2024 is going to be bumpy. It's going to be ugly. The negative remarks are going to fly, and it's going to be no holds bar on politics. So expect all the stupidity. Hello, Antifa. I'm talking to you, all you idiots that are out there. I pray for you. You might want to come to Christ and drop the communism. But other than that, guys, you know, please support Mike Kerr and Hear the Watchman. We need more organizations like theirs who are trying to gather the body for fellowship instead of trying to gather the body for profit. So if you're one of my detractors and you don't like the fact I just said that, well, go cry. I don't care. Other than that, guys, stay frosty. We'll see you next time. Take care. God bless.
All stations, all call signs. Prepare for transmission. This is Wrecker Actual. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. End of transmission.